today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I'm bringing it to you the way I see it. The man that say, I'm not going to seek God. The woman that say, I don't want that. What hangs over the head of those people is death. When God says it's time to reform, you can't say no. Young or old. I know you make a decision to serve him, but I'm telling you, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, A Man of Vision. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 9.
2 Chronicles 15, verse 1 through 9. Lengthy text today, but I need to read it. It should be on the screen. I'll read it in your hearing. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out and met King Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Verse 3, for a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, without rule or law, governance, compliance. Verse 4, but when in their trouble they turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. That's good news. And in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out or to the one who came in. If there's no peace, that means there's chaos. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nations were destroyed. So nation was destroyed by the nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, say but you. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak. For your work shall be what? Rewarded. Man, I can preach that right there. Verse 8, and when Asa heard these things, when the authority heard these things, when the king heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin. He reformed it. He cleaned house. And from the cities he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and restored the altar of the Lord, the place where you meet with God, that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Look at verse 9. Then he gathered all Judah, all the praisers, and Benjamin, and those who dwell in them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, Look at this. For they came over to him in great number from Israel when they saw that the Lord had his God was with him. And in other words, they were lonely. He was lonely. But when the people saw that Asa had moved toward God and God was blessing him and moving with him, all of these people began to gather around him. In other words, he eradicated loneliness. And if you please God, you won't be friendless. I said on this side over here, if you please God, you don't have to worry about friends. He'll send them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Look at verse 12. For they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Verse 13. And whoever would not seek the Lord, God of Israel, was to be put to what? This is serious, isn't it? And whoever shall, whether they shall be great or whether they shall be man or woman. In other words, this was such a reformation. If you said, I don't want to seek the Lord, King was so serious, he said, take him over there and execute him. The cue now is that those who don't seek God in this season has a death sentence over their life. I'm bringing it to you the way I see it. The man that say, I'm not going to seek God. The woman that say, I don't want that. What hangs over the head of those people is death. When God says it's time to reform, you can't say no. Young or old. I know you make a decision to serve him, but I'm telling you, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life and you shall live. Hallelujah. I want to teach a two-part message this morning entitled The King's Men. Today's message in our early service is called A Man of Vision. A Man of Vision. Father, thank you for this moment in time, and I pray that as I teach that I would articulate the scripture in such a way that we would understand it. Help us to understand that this is a mandate, a demand from the Spirit that it's time to line up. The King is calling for his men. He's calling for compliance. He's calling for order. He's calling for a gathering. He's calling for the family. And as the man leads, so will the woman comply. If the man leads, the children will come. If the man leads, the family will be intact. The man begins to lead, things will begin to come into order. And Father, I give you praise for the reformation of Asa. Thank you for his example. Thank you for a ministry with that name in it that will reach a reformation ministry. Hallelujah. I give you praise for Asa's life and for his willingness to seek the Lord. Bless this time together and the word that's about to be preached. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's confess over the word, our confession of faith. You ready for it? Amen. As soon as it's up, we'll get started. Happy Father's Day. Our confession of faith should be up in a moment. Well, do you all remember it? Okay. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed, my heart is receptive and ready to receive. can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Good place to clap. Too much life in me, can't quit. The reformation of Asa is mentioned here in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I would encourage you to read Asa's rise and what he did in the nation of Judah, what he did in the inhabitants of those who were called the Israelites. And we pull this out today because it speaks to reformation. The Spirit of God spoke to a prophet, Azariah. And he began to speak by the Spirit, the utterance to the king. Glory to God. And we need prophets. I see a lot of Christian nationalists that want to join with the president and just go along with him and pray. But real prophets will tell him where he needs to move. And they will say, instead of trying to live in the tower and get along with everybody, the prophet is supposed to say what God is saying. That sometimes when you call people names and women names the way you're doing it, you're creating a culture where young people are beginning to do that in school. When they see the top man do it, it trickles down. Chivalry is going out the window. And though we're casual about it, things are eroding. Right now, people just say whatever comes to their mind, young and old, and feel justified, right? Because we got somebody at the top. And I'm saying, and I pray that this goes on the radio. I know people don't want to hear it, but I'm saying, instead of just saying, just because your political point of view is enacted by the president, he's pushing no this and no that, no abortions, no transgender, no this, no that. But at the same time, you're not sticking up with what's righteous as it relates to how you function and flow. You're saying whatever comes to your mind, anybody. He's now having a battle with the lady that's running Italy. What are you talking about? The lady is an ally. Let her work and do what she does. But you want to fight with her because you don't like something she says. She don't like what you say. She wanted a picture with me. Who cares? She said, I didn't ask for a picture. Yes, you did. And this is like childhood's play. She said, I wouldn't even, my life was on the line, I wouldn't ask you for a picture. You don't have to say that. What are you talking about? Yes, you did. You were begging for a picture. What are we talking about? That's child's play. So I wanted to say that we need prophets. Those of you that are around the president, say something to him and like calm that down. Slow it down. And let's get to the king's business. We got stuff going on, bombs bursting, trace of abuse is locked up. We got all kind of stuff happening, gas prices up. We don't need to be going to war with that lady. Let's get back to the word. And the Spirit came upon the prophet, like he's on me today, speaking truth to power. He went out to meet the king and he says, you know, king, the Lord told me to tell you some things. That he's with you if you're with him. Because some people say, well, God is with me, right? But he's with you if you comply. Like if you really comply, you can kind of lean on him. His grace is sufficient now. But when you really work with him, man, you can really stand on that. He's working with you. He said, but if you forsake him, you said, I don't care about what God said. I'm going to do what I want. He will also forsake you. And one of the things you don't want him to forsake you, or you don't want him to forsake you if you're rowing a boat and you need oars, you don't want him to take the oars out. Because when he forsakes you, it doesn't matter how you row, you won't go nowhere. I think it was Paul that said in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that powerful? But flip it. If God is not for me, then who can be for me? I want you to think about it. If God says, I'm not with you no more, and he's sovereign, he can say that. I'm not with your plan anymore. I take my hand off. I'm looking at the word now because he can do that. He says, if he forsake us, if we forsake him, he will forsake us. Went on to say, for a long time, Israel was without a true God. In other words, they had begun to infiltrate or allow idolatry to infiltrate their borders. They didn't seek the Lord. They offered up false worship. Even the meeting place to God, the altar, was broke down. They had no meeting place with God. There was chaos in the street. There was no peace from the nations that surrounded Israel. Total chaos. And the land needed reformation. Kind of reminds me of what we are as a nation. Oh, yeah, we have the money and we have our cars, but there's a lot of chaos. And there's a lot of shooting, a lot of killing, a lot of murder going on. A lot of kids are missing. Let me say it again. A lot of children are being harvested. A lot of children are being kidnapped and trafficked. Nobody's able to find them. A lot of kids are being shipped overseas and used as slaves, given intravenous drugs at 16 and 17 years old and then put out on the streets, or becoming a play partner for sheiks, for men who have power and money, becoming playthings. A lot of our daughters, these things are happening, especially to the ones that have no father, the ones whose mothers are asleep. She's being raped inside, but you're on the porch drunk, and you don't hear her moaning. It's happening in your own house. There are people in our neighborhood that are eyeing your children. Whether you know it or not, we need reformation. These things occur when there's no light, no counsel of God in the midst, when there is no man of God that can hear the words of God from the prophet of God and turn back to God. We have strayed away from the Lord. And I'm not just speaking to men in our church. I'm talking to mankind. There are people that are outside of this building that are listening to me right now, because there's a multitude assigned to my voice. And I'm saying we all need to turn back to God. We need to come back to God. We say, well, why? Well, there's chaos in the street. There are things that are happening under your nose that you can't detect. You can't detect the spiritual carbon monoxide. It's already infiltrated into your atmosphere. You can't tell where the devil is tiptoeing through your bloodline. You don't see it because you're in the blind. You have forsaken him, so he's taking his hands off. There must be a reformation. The Bible says when King Asa heard these words, he gathered Judah. He went back to Judah, means praise. He took praise and said, listen, we got to reform it. You need to associate with kingship. Judah is not supposed to just fight and have gigs and play, but have no associating with kingship. Not supposed to be playing around on a Saturday night and come on a Sunday morning and flow. Judah must connect with king. Glory to God. The men of Judah must become the king's men and not your own man. Because worship in the kingdom is tied to authority and submission. Help me, Jesus. Also, Benjamin needs to come. The brother of Joseph, who was given by Joseph more gold than the rest of his brothers. And actually, God financed the first king to come from Benjamin. But yet, even though the king came from Benjamin, he still has a withdrawing spirit. He still has that Saul-type mentality that I'm not going to flow with God like I should. But the scripture says Judah and Benjamin showed up and begin to dwell with the king again. Then Ephraim, Manasseh, hallelujah, which is the brother of Ephraim. These are the sons of Joseph with Benjamin, now are connecting with the king. Outsiders, metrosexuals, born in Egypt,
wearing mascara. But when the Reformation comes, we see Manasseh and Ephraim now binding up with the king again. We see Simeon, who was the one who attacked Joseph to say, kill him and throw him in the pit. But we see him now coming and relating to the king. Glory to God. All of his descendants would like that. When they don't want something to occur, they want to fight all of the time. And it was Simeon and Levi who went into Shechem and destroyed the men there. That's why they were put outside of the camp of God, because anger took over. And when you allow anger to take over, anger can push you out of your promise. But I'm watching Reformation now. All of these boys that had problems are now gathering around kingship. Glory to God. Aren't you glad God is a forgiving God? The Bible says in verse 12, they went into covenant to seek the Lord. Went into covenant to seek the Lord. And I really believe, as I'm calling men and I'm calling our church to the altar, we need to go into covenant to seek God. Not just to get businesses started, not just to make more money, but to go into covenant with God to seek his face. And when we seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven and forgive sin and heal the land. The chaos that's in the land, the fighting in the neighborhoods, the bullets that are flying, the war that's going on in homes, all of that will calm down if all of us decide to seek the Lord. Instead of warring with each other, why don't we just sing the song together? Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. Glory to God. I wish I could sing. I would do it. Glory to God, I would do it. I'm telling you, God knew it. They entered into covenant with God to seek the Lord God, their fathers, with all of their heart and with all of their soul, or that part of them that God redeems. Their mind came into seeking the Lord. Their intellect came into seeking the Lord. Their will, their imagination, and their memories, their emotions were tied to God. They surrendered it to the Lord. And then God says, listen, those that don't seek me will be put to death. God is not putting people to death, but if you don't seek him, there is a death sentence over your life. Today, we're celebrating Father's Day. And I want to honor men whom God has called to lead. Men, the king's men who God has called to lead. We may be outside of it right now. We may be one of the ones, as in Asa's day, that don't have our praise right, or we've been too angry, or maybe we were metrosexual, or we had too much time out in the street and haven't really given God our hearts. Maybe we were like Simeon, always wanting to fight. Maybe we just can't get along with anyone. Maybe we were raised by women and they told us we were beautiful, and unless somebody compliments us, we don't have any gabor to rise up. We don't know how to just put our feet down and flow. Maybe we're the kind of man that when there's an opposition, we quit. But I believe there's something going on called Reformation. Glory to God. And God is calling the king's men to lead and to protect. He's calling us to provide. Amen. And he's not going to tell us to provide without giving us resources. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I remember working on the Cape, and I was like, man, God, the church is growing. I can't continue to do this. But he didn't tell me to release the Cape yet. But in November of 1997, maybe October, he spoke to me. And I thought he was going to say, quit your job because I'm going to provide for you. He didn't say that. You know what he said to me? Make yourself available. I would want him to say, quit the job. Quit the job. I'm going to provide for you and take care of all of your needs. I kept saying, God, when, when, when? And I thought he was going to say, quit the job. I got something for you, and I'm going to take care of your good son. Your good son. Keep on moving forward, Merton. I love you. I was praying and I got quiet, and he just whispered, make yourself available to me. I paused. I remember one time Megan got up and she said, "Daddy, could you get me some water?" It's like it's 2 a.m. Inside of me, I didn't want to do it. But I couldn't say no. There's no way I could tell the girl, "Go and lay down somewhere." Because she asked me. There are times when your spouse may say to you, "Could you do this for me?" You don't really want to do it. Some of y'all would say, "Bump you." But when your heart right, you say, "This is going to make me get out of my resting place. It's going to make me uncomfortable. I'll do it for you." And you don't know what love is until you get there. And the Lord knew that I loved him. He knew that I loved him. And the way he put it, "Make yourself available." "Said, you want me to quit? You didn't tell me though. You didn't give me the specifics." But I knew what he meant. And some of you know what he means, even if he's not clear. God, you don't need him to spill it all out. You know his heart and he knows yours. And when he asks you to do something, you need to obey him. Make yourself available, and I did.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, A Man of Vision, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
VBS 2026, The Joshua Generation, will take place on Monday, July 20th to Friday, July 24th for children ages 2 through 6th grade. Don't miss this exciting week of faith, fun, and learning. Register and purchase your t-shirt on the website, the TR mobile app, or scan the QR code in the foyer. Get ready to celebrate Bishop's birthday on July 10th. Show Bishop some love online at truthreveal.org, the Truth Reveal app, or Cash App at Truth Reveal 2. Make check payable to Truth Reveal with Bishop's birthday on the memo line. Registration is open for the Believers Enrichment Spiritual Training Best Class. Sign up today using the TR app, website, or email best@truthreveal.org for more information.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.